welcome to Calvary. We're so glad to have you with us during our weekend broadcast. And want to help you get connected to other people here at Calvary and growing spiritually. One of the ways you can do that is by going to our digital bulletin. Once you get in there, you'll find a few buttons that are great next steps for you. The first one is the Connect with Us button. When you go in there, if you're newer to us as a church, maybe you joined us for the first time today or maybe over the last few months, the Connect with Us button will really help you to get connected. Go there and we'll be able to acknowledge your visit with us and then help you specifically take your next step with us as a church. And the next button there is our teaching notes. You can stop right now during our service and download those teaching notes and follow along. And Pastor Sean's message tonight, today that he's going to be preaching, and be able to join us as we go point by point through the message. And then next, you have giving. You'll be able to give with us as a church. As you learned last week, if you were with us last week for our message, we are reaching out, not only in our community, but around the world to spread the message of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness to all people. And so one of the ways you can support that mission, that vision, is through giving to us as a church. You'll see in front of you on the screen, there's a few different ways to do that. You can give online, you can text to give, you can mail in an envelope, or you can go to our Calvary app. If you have an Android or an iPhone, you could download that app and start giving that way to our church. We just want to thank you as you decide to give generously to us. And then later on in our service today, we're going to be doing communion. And so if you'd like to pause the message right now, you can take some time and go grab your bread and juice and participate with us during our communion today, during our service. And then next weekend, we have baptisms coming up. If you are someone that you've given your life to Christ and you have not been baptized, I encourage you to make this your next step. Next weekend at our 9 and 11 a.m. service, we're going to have baptisms. So I encourage you to go to our website, go to calvarywestlake.org/baptism. Once you get in there, you'll find the details about baptism, and you'll be able to sign up to find the right service for you. Maybe it's the 9, maybe it's the 11. Whatever service you select, we'd be honored to celebrate your declaration of faith with our church family. The next thing coming up is going to be on November 17th at 7:30 p.m. If you are married, I want to invite you to join us for our Marriage Essentials workshop. The next topic for the Marriage Essentials is called The Message. We're going to be talking about on Tuesday night, we're going to be talking about how our message, the message of our marriage, can be the message that God has given us to share, which is the gospel. That God loves people and that he wants to use married couples to spread his message around the world, around our community. So join us for our Marriage Essentials workshop on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. And then today also coming up in November, we have Calvary, Discover Calvary Class 101. If you are someone that's been, maybe you've been attending Calvary for just a short period of time, or you've been with Calvary for a season, I wanna invite you to join us in Class 101. In this class, you learn that being a part of a church and walking with Jesus, they go hand in hand. In this class, you'll learn about our faith, our structure, and you'll learn about how you can become a part of our story as we move forward in our mission to live and love like Jesus. Join us for Discover Calvary Class 101. I'd love to see you there. I have the honor of teaching that class, and I just enjoy connecting with people as they begin to become a part of our church. Join us for Class 101. And then also, coming up soon, today is really the beginning of a new sermon series that Pastor Sean's gonna be teaching. And we're gonna be covering some core, really some essentials for who we are as a church. And Pastor Sean and our team, we thought it'd be great for you to consider ways that you can start getting in the Bible on a daily basis. We selected a few options for you, a 30-day plan, 90-day, or a everyday plan, 365 days of the year, where you can kind of begin the habit of reading God's word. Check this out at calvarywestlake.org/Bible. Go there. We have hand-selected these Bible reading plans for you, and you will enjoy them. And then finally, we are trying to reach our neighbors with the love of Christ. One of the ways we do that is through our toy drive, Christmas Shop. Check out this video, and we'll tell you all about it. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. I am Pastor Brian.
I'm Pastor Gina.
And we have some exciting news to share that coming this December, December 5th, we are moving forward with our Disability Christmas Shop. And we are very excited about it. It's one of our favorite things we get to do all year. Gina, why don't you tell us a little bit about why we're so excited?
Oh, we're so excited. So the Christmas Shop, we've done it every year. It's so exciting to partner with Action and to be able to come together and really spread some joy into families in our community and in the surrounding communities who have a child or more who have a special need and typical siblings. And we get to just come alongside them and help supplement their Christmas, spend time with them on the day of the Christmas Shop and really just have a good time. So it's the best.
It is the best.
Yeah.
And for this Disability Christmas Shop, in order to remain safe and spaced out, we're actually going to be doing it outside this year, out in front of the atrium, and going to space out and make it a safe place for everybody to come. And excited about that. We're going to begin our toy drive, and we need your help on this, beginning on November 2nd. That's a Monday, and that's when we'll begin. There's going to be a collection area out front. We'll also have collection areas in the back if you're going to show up at 9 or 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And so we need toys. We hope you'll bring them. And that will begin on November 2nd and run up until the week of the Christmas Shop.
That's right. And just like every other year, we've needed both your toys for our Christmas Shop and other Christmas Shops, but we also need your help. So there's still volunteer needs. The volunteer needs are going to look a little different this year, too. We won't have personal shoppers, and we're working through the details on how to make sure we keep everything really safe, socially distanced, and all that. But there's needs all the way from when we start collecting toys through the day of the shop. So there's going to be a whole bunch of information on our website, calvarywestlake.org/special needs, where you can see what we're going to need as far as toys, what we're going to need as far as volunteers that day. So there's plenty of opportunities for you to plug in now, leading up all the way through the shop and the day of the shop as well. So just like every other year, it takes a lot of hands to pull off the Christmas shop. So we need you.
Absolutely. Hope to see you there. Bring toys, bring your hands, bring your feet. It's going to be an amazing time. We hope you'll join us for the Disability Christmas Shop this December 5th.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Brian and Gina, for helping us get a vision of what we get to be a part of again when it comes to the community Christmas shop that will directly help families affected by disability. And you heard them talk about how you can bring those toys, and those will be used to be a big blessing. And this year, a number of families, of course, are facing some economic hardships even beyond what they may have faced last year. So as you lean in, thank you in advance for your generosity in helping provide those unwrapped toys. And we got to get those together in the next several weeks. So thank you very much. As you can see, I am here with some other folks. I'm here with Pastor Nate Travis and his wife, Lauren. And Nate has been on our staff as one of our pastors for 7.5 years, right?
Yep, March of 2013.
Wow, for some reason to me, it seems like it's been 4 years and it's gone so quickly. You were a part of one of those early hires for us in our Calvary 2020 when we were trying to focus on the next generation of children. And you came in and you really established for us in that time just some solid things in terms of children's ministry. We so appreciate that. Then you took on middle school a couple of years after that. And again, you established such a solid pattern there and got so many great volunteers together. And those two areas have been deeply impacted. And you've been helping us with baptisms, and you've been involved in so many different things over those years. And I know now you're at a point where God is leading you, you guys in a different direction. He has a new phase of ministry for you. And as I've heard about it this week more, as you and I sat down this week to talk about it, I am so excited for the two of you and believe that this is, as we've talked about, a natural use of your God-given gifts. But I want to say thank you for the impact you've made in families. You've been so involved in the men's Bible study. And Lauren, you helped launch the IF conference and the groups and the whole movement here at Calvary. And I know early on that brought women from all different generations together. And so thank you both for the impact you've made on Calvary, and that impact will continue after God moves you from here into your new assignment. So thank you both very much from our leadership, our elders, our pastors, as well as our congregation who you have blessed so much. Nate, give us a little bit about what God's doing in your life and when this is going to take place and share, please. We're excited for you.
First, Lauren and I are just very grateful for our time here at Calvary, and we're just so thankful to be a part of this church family. And we've actually kind of raised our kids here because when we came, they were 3.5, 2, and 4 months. And so now to have them go through elementary school, this is pretty much what they know. And so this has been a great place for us to have our family, and we're so grateful to be here. I've learned so much. I've grown so much as an individual, and I think also as a professional. I'm thankful for the conversations that we've had in the hallways. I love those hallway chats on weekends with people and even on Wednesday nights. Those have been shaping for me. And I think in the same way, the conversations we've had at a staff level have also grown me professionally and really prepared me for what's ahead. And so we're excited about what God has. We've accepted an offer. I'll be a senior pastor of a wonderful, humble, small little congregation in Southern Virginia, which is just south of Richmond, Virginia, the capital. And we'll begin in the new year, and we're super excited to be a part of that. Big days ahead. It's a challenge, not a role I've had before, but something I feel confident and capable to do and feel prepared to do. But I also know there's a learning curve on top of that. But we're really excited to join that congregation, be a part of that, and step into this next season of ministry.
Well, I know as you and I have talked about that, the Lord has confirmed in my heart, boy, this is a great opportunity for you because you have an ability to teach. You teach very well, practically, biblical, solid, gospel-centered. And you have the ability to lead and organize. And sometimes churches in the setting where you're going, they get either a teacher and not a leader or a leader and not a teacher. And I think God has wired you and given you experiences in your family experiences before Calvary and during your time here at Calvary. So I'm excited about what God's going to do and use you as a senior pastor there. And I think you're going to have an impact in that community. It's going to be wonderful for Christ. When it comes to your family, mm-hmm. Now, I know you both sets of your parents are in Florida. So Lauren, how does this do, that's 9-10 hours probably from Virginia to Florida where your parents live. Yeah. What does that mean for your family?
Well, I think it's great that we'll first be in driving distance of family. I think in the pandemic, it's just been difficult to be so far away. Nate's brother and sister-in-law also live in Florida near our parents. So that's great that they are within driving distance. But I have two siblings, my sisters who live in Virginia. They went to college there, settled there, and have stayed. And they have little cousins who are younger than our kids that it's gonna be so good to be close to them. Interestingly, this church is not one they attend. This isn't their church. So God really lined this up so beautifully so that we can be close to family, but it's really his assignment.
So what does this mean for your kids? You've got Luke, Kate, and Jude, as you said, and they were very young toddlers, infant, and now in elementary. What does that mean for them in this move?
So they are really, really excited. They're excited to be the big cousins and be with all the little ones. They have a lot of a great sense of adventure about it, and they are just excited. I mean, I think that's been the biggest thing for us and really given us a lot of peace is that they're not in any kind of a turmoil about it. There's not been any significant tears or crying. And so we're looking forward to it.
Well, I know I can speak for the whole Calvary family. You guys will be deeply missed. And but we want God's very best for you. So we want to be praying with you. And are there maybe two requests or so that we could be praying about? And then I do want to pray for you and your family.
I think the first one would be for me and starting a new job. I mean, there's a transition there, but it's also a transition that I haven't experienced in a new role, new position, being that point leader out there kind of on my own, if you will, obviously God in God's hand. But there's something to that. I don't know what I don't know. And I feel, again, like I said, confident and capable and even prepared, but yet I haven't experienced it yet. And so I would say one area that I want to be bathed in prayer is just that idea of, that I stay in God's hands, that I continue to reach people for the kingdom, but to kind of work through the transition that is a new role. And I think the second one is just for the family transition. Moving is moving, moving with the family and kids, even though it lines up perfectly, we really see God's hand in all of it. At the same point, we know it can be both good and tough at the same time. And just, we wanna be good parents, we wanna be good spouses, as well as extended relatives, all those things coming into play. We just want prayer for the entire transition as a whole.
Well, I know you're going to be moving this week. Your stuff moves early in the week and middle of the week. You guys get on a plane and head back east, and this has come quite quickly. And I know some of that had to do with moving costs as you got in deeper into the holidays. We're going up, and COVID has even changed how moving companies operate. And so I know that this wasn't totally in your control. And a lot of folks, because of even COVID restrictions here, won't have an opportunity to say goodbye. But we want to pray for you, and I trust that you will commit to praying for the Travises as they make this move, that whatever way you have opportunity to communicate with them, Facebook or email, that you'll do that. And we want you to know we love you guys, love your family, and we look forward to hearing great things that God's going to do through you in Virginia for his kingdom. Can I pray with you?
Please, thank you.
Father, I thank you for Nate and his life and ministry. I thank you for his input into my leadership. He and I talked this week about some ways in which he has impacted my life and sharpened me as a leader. Thank you for those times that he would just in passing say something to me like, for what it's worth, and they'd share with me some insights on something going on. And it was often a fresh perspective and very helpful for me as a leader. I pray you would bless him as he settles into this role as a senior pastor. I, Lord, believe you've gifted him and equipped him and given him experiences that will work in a wonderful way in that setting. And I pray that you would help him to find his way, to be patient, to build trust, to grow, and that as he grows, that he would be able to see the body there grow in Christ and they reach more people for Jesus. Just pray that you'd guide him each step of the way in terms of this new role and this new ministry and this new opportunity to serve you as a shepherd overseeing a flock within your kingdom. And we also pray, Lord, that you would bless the move. We pray that you would get all the stuff there safely. We pray for their kids. We pray for Luke and Kate and Jude and the transition. We're thrilled that they have the cousins there, but I know they've got friendships here and they'll make new friendships there, make all that work out smoothly, strengthen their marriage and their home as they make this adjustment. I pray for Lauren as she settles in there with the kids and Nate and they get things going. I pray that the kind of influence she's had here among women in our women's ministry, she'd have that kind of influence and other ways that she'd make a difference for Christ in that setting. I just ask your blessing on them. We will miss them. We love them, Lord, but we know that in your sovereignty, you have a plan. And in this plan, you want to use these choice servants of yours to make a difference for the gospel of Christ. Thank you, Father, for bringing them to our church family and our community for these 7.5 years. Bless them now there in Virginia, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to mention that Pastor Nate and I sat down for about a 22-minute talk where we just talked about what this means and we interacted about it. You can go to our website. That'll be available on Monday afternoon at the latest, and you can check that out at calvarywestlake.org, and you hear more about what they're getting into and what God's leading them to, and you'll hear a little bit about some of the things that he and I have learned from each other and the impact that Pastor Nate has made on children and middle school students as well as their parents and families. And so you can go there. Like I say, it'll be posted at the latest by Monday afternoon. And also, I'd like to just encourage you to watch this video regarding something we began 2.5 years ago, which was our Generations Project to retool this campus to make it even sharper in terms of reaching people for Jesus Christ. Watch this video.
Thank you for your part in our Generations Project here at Calvary Community Church. Your investment has already made a difference, and I know some of you continue to give, and that is helping us move forward. And right now, of course, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. We began our phase 2 this year, and our elders came to a decision that we were going to continue to move forward with this phase 2 that we'd already begun because we want to make sure that we have a facility that's going to minister directly to families affected by disability. And so we're going to finish out the rooms and the playground that we'll be ministering to them. And we're taking a hard pause on the rest of Generations because we want to wait and see what the landscape will look like after this pandemic.
I've been here to see the evolution of what we've done and the spaces that we've designed for our special needs ministry. And it started small, and then we realized we needed to do some renovations to to one room to make it a little safer, so we did that. And now moving the ministry downstairs, building out an entire suite with multiple rooms, with bathrooms that are going to give our kids an opportunity to not have to be changed on a floor, to be safe and honored as they go through that, and to have an outdoor area that's designed just for them. It's just amazing to see how we've taken it from level to level, and now to see us building this room right at the front. It's the first thing you see when you come through the doors, is another message to our community and to our families that says, we're not just tolerating you here, we want you here, and we're celebrating that you're here, and we're gonna do whatever it takes. So this room is more than just a room, it's a message. It's a message to these families and to these kids that they're loved and valued and sought after at Calvary. And nothing makes me happier than to see these walls going up, because it's just a reminder that you, the Calvary family, the leadership here, Pastor Sean, has really followed up and followed through with what we decided we were gonna do when we cast this vision for the special needs ministry, and we're seeing it out. So I just wanna thank everybody who's decided to come alongside us financially to support the good work that's going on in building this. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your heart for the special needs ministry. And I love you.
Thank you again for your generosity. We believe God is going to use this tool in an incredible way. He's going to use it right away as we complete this. It's in process. We're looking to complete it and to complete it without any further debt. Would you pray about what God would have you do? Join us in completing this project. We are excited about how God is going to use it to minister to families affected by special needs.
Yes, thank you for your generosity toward the Generations Project. And as we complete this special needs area, then we'll put a hard pause on that, because of so much that has changed on the landscape of our culture and our community. But we also know that based on restrictions and guidelines, there are more opportunities for us to minister to kids with special needs inside a facility like this, following guidelines and regulations. There's more of an opportunity than we would have otherwise. And so we look forward to this being a tool that will make a difference in the lives of families who, especially during this COVID time, many of them have been at high risk. Many of them, these kids have been out of their school programs, and it's just thrown them off. And we as a church want to put our arms around them and love them. And so as you give above and beyond what you give to the offerings here at Calvary, the general fund offering, that will make a difference immediately as we use that tool for the glory of God. Now, I want to begin to introduce to you a new series that we're going to be going through over the next several weeks. And this series is called Recenter. And it's about us taking God's focus and making sure that God's focus is the focus of our lives. That little word, recenter, I like that word because as I've used mapping programs like Google Maps, I sometimes, when I put in the directions to a location, I look and it just has that arrow of where I'm supposed to go, and it tells me the next turn. But I like those old maps, so I love to zoom out so I can see the whole route of where I'm going. But then once I get zoomed out, I want to go back to where am I and what direction do I need to head? I need that basic next step. And so there's this little button at the bottom of Google Maps, and it says recenter. And when you touch that, it goes back to where you are and it shows you the direction you need to go. You know, there's been a lot of stuff happen in our world today. In this year of 2020, we wouldn't be surprised by anything that would come into this year before December 31st. It just seems like this has been a year of not only the COVID crisis, which has increased in its intensity and it's grabbed our attention across our country in the last week or two, the economic fallout from that and how that has affected families who are part of Calvary, or part of our community, our state, and our nation. And then even the election and the voices and what we've gone through together in that process of democracy, it can be easy for us as God's children to forget where we are right now, what direction we need to go. And so we need to recenter. And as we recenter on being the followers of Jesus Christ that seek to live and love like Jesus here at Calvary Community Church, I want us to think over the next 3 weeks about our passions that God has given us in the scripture the passions we should have in the direction and the aim of our hearts and our lives. And we'll look at that together as we talk about recenter. And we're going to talk today about loving God more from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. If you want to go there in your Bibles, you can go there now. Mark 12, 28 to 34. And this is the thought I want us to focus on today. Whenever we get distracted with the twists and turns of life, we need to recenter on the direction God says we need to go. We need to recenter. Maybe you've been distracted by some stuff going on at work and this awkwardness of doing work remotely or going in a day or two. Maybe you've gotten distracted by the election. Maybe you've gotten distracted by the illness of someone or someone you love who's battling COVID. Or perhaps you've gotten distracted by just the noise of the news in the last couple of weeks and the tensions that have flared up around the country over the last several months. Maybe it's something more personal in your life. You take away all the stuff of 2020 that we've all walked through together. There's just some stuff going on in your marriage, going on with your own health. There's stuff going on with your finances, your job. It's easy to get distracted from what God has for us as his children. So whenever we get distracted with the twists and turns of life, we need to recenter on the direction God says we need to go. Now, I want to explain to you, we often think that Satan just wants to defeat us or destroy us as God's children. He wants to defeat us or destroy us. From the Garden of Eden forward, the number one strategy of Satan to thwart the purposes of God and of God's people, the number one strategy he has used has been to distract us. You see, Satan doesn't need to destroy or defeat us. He only needs to distract us. And over these next several weeks, we're going to recenter and focus on what God wants us to focus on as his children. We're called, first of all, to love God more. That's what we're going to look at today. And then we're called to love God's people more. And we'll look at that next week. And then thirdly, we are called, and the third passion we have here at Calvary as we seek to live and love like Jesus is to love more people, to love more people. And even that area that we're renovating that will be used for our special needs ministry, that area is going to help us to love more people in the name of Jesus. And we'll look at love more people in a couple of weeks. So these are the 3 weeks we'll be focusing on over the course of this series, Recenter. Love God more, love God's people more, and love more people. You know, sometimes we've said it collectively together that we want to attempt something so big for God, it's doomed to fail unless he is in it. And it's not about buildings and programs. It's not about structures and systems. All those things are there to help the organism, the body of Calvary Community Church, this church, thrive and grow. We talk about attempting something so big for God that it's doomed to fail unless he is in it. I think that you'll sense that at the heart of that kind of spirit is a passion for God, a passion for God's people, and a passion for the people of this world. Let's look at Mark chapter 12. You've probably gotten there in your Bible or on your mobile device, but you can follow along as I read this passage from Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus then responds, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second commandment is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. So here's this religious leader who tries to trip Jesus up. And he throws out this question. He's trying to get Jesus to pick one of the commandments that he would say would be the most important commandment. And Jesus says, you got to go back to what was said in Deuteronomy 4, that we have one God, and that one God needs to be our God. And then Jesus says, and right after we understand there is one God, we've got to love him with everything we've got, and then we've got to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the religious leader commends him because, as Jesus said in a similar situation in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said that all the laws, all the commandments, all the teachings, all the prophets hang on this idea that we are to love God with everything we've got, and then we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so we're going to be looking at this passage and specifically focusing in on verse 30. That commandment, Jesus says, is the first commandment, and all other commandments fall under this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. We've got to love God more. We've got to love God more. Now let's break down these things. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. What does that mean for us in our lives today? If we're going to recenter and we're going to have the right love for God, and our heartbeat is going to be for God, our minds are going to be focused on God, our very lives are going to be focused on God, everything we have is going to be focused on him and pursuing him, knowing him and loving him. What does that look like? Well, to love God more, you got to love him with all your heart. That's all your affection, all your affection. That word heart speaks to the place where emotions and affections and desires and passions are kept. It is the center of all that. In Proverbs 4:23, we're told, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard it, because from your heart, from your inner being, from that place where you feel and you experience life, those are the places where the stuff that comes out, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, comes from there. We need to guard our hearts. Now, if you're going to love him with all your heart, what does that look like? Well, you've got to understand his love, and then his love for you should move you. You see, we love him. We can only love him, John says, because he first loved us. He loved us in that while we were sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. The sinless Son of God, God the Son, left heaven's glory, was born in a manger, which we'll celebrate in just a few weeks, his birth in Bethlehem. God took on human flesh. That would be torture enough to live among broken beings with all their flaws and all their sins. But he lived a life that was sinless. He had a ministry of almost 3 years. And after that 3 years of ministry, at around the age of 33, Jesus is nailed to a cross. He is nailed to that cross, not because his mission failed, not because this was plan B by God. This was plan A, that he would suffer and die on the cross for my sins and for your sins, that he would take my place, the punishment I deserve, and God's judgment would be poured out on him. He was the sinless one, the Son of God, and he became the final lamb, the final sacrifice. And when you think of what Jesus suffered for you, it ought to move you. That he then was buried, and you could just be there with the people, watch his lifeless body taken from the cross and buried, the emotion they felt, this one they thought that was here to solve the world's problems, and then he's buried, and 3 days later, the grave is empty, and an angel tells them he's alive, he's not here, he's risen. They see Jesus in a glorified body after the resurrection, then they watch him ascend to the Father with the promise that he would return one day for his children. When you understand how much he has loved you, his love should move you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, in a few moments, we're going to observe communion together. And I hope your heart will be encouraged today with what communion stands for and what Jesus has done for you. If you don't know Christ as Savior, Jesus died on the cross for you. It ought to move you emotionally. It ought to stir your own mind to realize you need a Savior and can't rescue yourself. You ought to then make that decision with your will to choose Jesus as your Savior, to ask God to forgive you because of what Jesus did. If today's a day you're ready and you're now right there even praying and saying, okay, God, I get it. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I am moved by what he has done for me in his sacrifice. We want to celebrate with you that you've come to Jesus today. Or maybe you've accepted Christ in recent days, or a friend shared Christ with you months ago, and you haven't yet reached out to someone to know what that means, to grow in Christ, to be a part of his family, to live for Christ. You can just text Jesus, the word Jesus, to the number on the screen below me, and you'll get some encouragement back from us here at Calvary. We'll follow up with you this week. We want to make sure you know what it means to have been moved in your heart, to have your mind realize the need of a Savior, and then to make that decision to put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, God's word says you're forgiven, you're a part of his family. And that ought to move you, that God would welcome you into his family through the sacrifice of his own son. His love should move you. When you love him with all your heart, with all your affection, his love should motivate you. It should motivate you. It ought to be a passionate thing for you to understand what Christ has done for you, that you say, I'm all in with all of my heart. I am all in, and I will do what he wants me to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The greatest proof that we really love God is that we walk in obedience to him. His love should motivate us to serve him, to trust him, to obey him. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Everyone was dead spiritually, and one died for all of us, Jesus. And that love compels us. I love that word compel in the Greek. It has the idea of something being squeezed, and as it is squeezed or constricted, it actually has motion forward. I think of like a tube of toothpaste, and there's something that just squeezes us in one way, or squeezes that tube in one way, and yet it projects the toothpaste out. And the idea here is that we are in the grip of his love so much, and we are so overwhelmed with his love for us, that in our love for him, we are compelled to go, to move forward and do whatever he wants us to do for his honor and glory. Love him with all your heart, all your affection. His love for you should move you. His love for you should motivate you. Secondly, love him with all your soul. Love him with all your soul. This word used for soul here is the idea of life. And that's what it means in Luke 10 and in Matthew, where this same reference is made to love the Lord your God, then love your neighbor as yourself. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament and the giving of the law. All the law would hang on this. And even in the Old Testament, this concept of soul, it means the total essence of who you are, your very being, your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. See, when we love him with all our soul, with all our lives, nothing in life has higher priority. Nothing in life has higher priority. You know, in our modern world, we can have idols. Maybe we don't make little statues out of figurines or out of wood, and we make these figurines and these things that we bow down to. But when we have anything else in our lives that has a higher priority than the Lord, we have an idol in our lives. And our whole soul isn't aimed at him, loving him. I've worked so hard in this year when I love politics. I'm kind of a political geek. I love following polls. I love understanding the dynamics that are going on. And this year, of course, has had its very interesting politics. And I work so hard throughout the year to say, I want my priority to be on God's word when I wake up and not figuring out what the news is. And I found myself slipping in the last couple of weeks getting closer to the election, where I would wake up and I'd get to my iPad. And before I went to the Bible, I would try to figure out what the polls were. And the Lord convicted me and said, what are you doing? You see, you're letting something else sneak in. You know, sometimes it's good stuff we allow to sneak in. Sometimes it's our spouse or our children or our jobs or our careers that have a higher priority than God. When we have God as our priority and our whole life is aimed at loving him, then everything else falls in place. Even for pastors, the church itself that we shepherd can often become an idol if we're not careful. Anything that has a higher priority than God can be an idol. We've got to love him with all of our soul. Nothing in life has a higher priority. When we love him with all of our soul, everything in life is fully surrendered. Everything in life is fully surrendered. It's all on the table. I don't say, okay, I've surrendered my family, I've surrendered this, but I'm not gonna surrender my job. I'm not gonna surrender my finances. I'm not gonna surrender my skills. I'm not gonna surrender my time. No, when we love him with all of our soul, everything's on the table. You know what I love about Calvary Community Church and its history is the story of Calvary is that there were people here in a small struggling church that were trying to make things work so that a church would thrive in Thousand Oaks. And they got to the point that they had to say, okay, we're gonna love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul. He is our highest priority. Everything is fully surrendered to him. And they wanted to see God's work flourish and more people reach for Jesus. One of those original voices, one of the key voices that helped lead that little church to call Larry and Becky DeWitt here. And then that church kind of came to a close and a new church was launched in 1976. One of those key voices, Larry Parks, went to be with Jesus a little over a week ago. And this last Tuesday, I was at the graveside and the story of his kids and his grandkids talking about what a godly man, what an influential man in their lives. He'd been a doctor here in Thousand Oaks. But his voice represents those voices that were saying, we're all in for Jesus. And I want you to just see this video from our 40th anniversary about 4 years ago. And you see Larry and Sally Parks in this. And he's one of the key voices that saw a vision for a church that would reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in our area. Watch this video. Look for Larry Parks in this video.
I probably have a unique experience in getting involved in Calvary in that my grandparents attended what was the original Calvary Community Church called at that time, Calvary Missionary Church.
I've been a part of Calvary since 1964.
Yes, we had four children. The youngest was just 3 months old when we moved to town.
I have been a part of Calvary since about 1962. Two or so when my mother, bless her, decided that the church was close enough that we could walk to it, and therefore my brother and I were going to Sunday school there, much to our dismay. We like to sleep in on Sundays. This whole little church basically was being held together by a tiny handful of people.
When we came to town, they didn't have a nursery, so I ended up holding a three-month-old during the church services, and the Sunday schools were very small.
Our church seemed like it was going downhill. I mean, the most people we ever had there, it's just set on a wall, 144 people.
And the population of the community is exploding, and our church is shrinking. Something's not right here.
People would visit and say, well, do you have a program for this or that? We say, no, but stay and we'll work. And everybody would go on and look for another church.
I had somebody take me aside, and I know he felt like he was doing the right thing, but what he told me was, you're doing way too much around this church because this is a dead church and you need to just get out of here and let it die a quiet death. You
know, I was ready to sell it or merge with another church or something because we were going downhill. And
that was part of so many things at Calvary that we had such hopes for that just fell flat.
I actually got up and said, it doesn't look like anything is going to happen here. So we have to make a decision.
It was Jerry Hoover suggested that we need to just lay this whole thing before the Lord, and if he wants us to close the doors and go to church somewhere else, then that's what we'll do.
We invested some time and energy into deciding what we could do rather than just bolt and go someplace else.
We also began looking at this new movement of church growth.
We just really had no church growth skills. We just didn't, we would not have looked like a group of people that could trust to see something like this happen.
From there, at that point, God started moving.
Well, Larry did agree to come, and the fact that he was so creative. He was certainly God's man for the time.
I can't believe how we thought we put high numbers on how we want to grow, and they just got erased. I mean, just jumped over them.
We had committed to take what felt like to us some big risks in order to move forward.
We were doing some things that seemed pretty crazy and radical.
Once you launch something like this, the work doesn't stop. It continues, and so you continue to trust, and you continue to look ahead, and you continue to set vision and set that path.
My parents actually met at a singles group event through Calvary, and it wasn't just somewhere that we went on Sundays, but somewhere that was impactful in the way that we lived our lives and something that was a valuable place to us.
Yeah. He grew up here. People invested in him.
Yeah, exactly. They did, and he is now paying it forward.
When I come and see the church packed, it's like a dividend Sunday. The Lord is paying dividends on what little we put in, he multiplied. We didn't do it. God did it. But it was worth it.
I love that spirit, because this is a loving him with your whole life kind of attitude all these families had that were a part of the founding of Calvary. I love how Sally Park says, what little we put in, he took and made much of it. He multiplied it, dividends. And then you hear Larry Park say, we didn't do it, God did it. God did it. Toward the end of his life, he wrote his life story, Larry Parks did. He wrote it down, shared it with his family. And Pastor Larry DeWitt, doing the graveside this last Tuesday for Larry Parks, read that story. And the last sentence caught my attention, because he was talking about coming to Thousand Oaks in 1964, being a part of that church, being a part of saying to Larry DeWitt, I believe a church can grow in Thousand Oaks. And then he says this at the end of his life story, Larry Parks wrote this himself: thousands of lives being touched and changed by Calvary. Apart from my family, the greatest accomplishment God did with me. I think that's all of life, all in. Nothing in life has a higher priority. Everything in life is fully surrendered. And we in this generation want to have that same heart for God individually, but we want to have it collectively. And we want to be a part of something that's reaching more and more people for Jesus, to the point that as we do so, attempting something so big, it's doomed to fail unless God is in it. And it's us loving God with all of our heart, all of our affection, all of our soul, all of our life, loving him with all of our minds. Our understanding is the third one. Love him with all your mind, your understanding. This word for mind has the idea of practical knowledge, practical thinking. It's not just you have the right thoughts, but you take the right thoughts and you put them into action. And you love him with clear understanding. And to love him with clear understanding, you love him for who he is. And that who he is shapes everything about how you think. Everything about how you think is shaped by who your God is, what he says to you in his word. And then who he is shapes everything about how you live. Who he is shapes everything about how you think, but who he is, this God who made you, this God who redeemed you, this God who wants to walk with you, this God who will welcome you into heaven one day and say, well done, good and faithful servant, as you faithfully serve him, as he did Larry Parks just a couple weeks ago. That God, you got to get to know him. How do you get to know him? You open God's word. God's word is his revelation of himself and how he sees the world, how he sees you, how he sees your need of salvation, his plan to redeem you by grace as you place your faith in Christ, and then to walk with you as his child so that you would live in love like Jesus to the point that others would come to Jesus too. You got to be in God's word. Let me encourage you, if you've not been in God's word, or maybe like me, you've put something else as a higher priority at times, and you catch yourself after days saying, what am I doing? I need to know who God is. I love him. I want to get to know him. I want to know him with my heart, my soul, and my mind. We have a Bible reading plan page we've added to our website. If you go to calvarywestlake.org/Bible, you'll see this plan. And you can pick a 30-day plan to just get started in reading the Bible every day, a 90-day plan. You can pick a 365-day plan. That one even has some times of confession and prayer laid out for you, the 365-day plan. They're kind of, the 30-day plan is kind of beginner. If you've never read the Bible before in your life, maybe you've read it a few times, you know a little bit about the Bible, the 90-day plan will work for you. If you're very familiar with the scriptures, that 365-day plan will work for you. You can't know who God is without seeing him as he's revealed in his word, the Bible. And as you see him for who he is, it changes how you think about yourself, those around you, this world. It changes how you live in this world. And it's all a part of loving God more. Love him with all your mind. And fourthly, love him with all your strength. Love him with all your strength. There are about four or five words in the Greek New Testament for strength. Four or five words. Most of them have to do with power, like inherent power, power that's been given to you by someone else. But this word for power or strength that's used here in Mark 12 and verse 30, and that's used in each of the two other gospels that quote Jesus talking about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of the gospels that talk about it speak of the strength, the specific word. And it has the idea of all the things that are given to you that could be leveraged for God's kingdom. It could be your education. It could be your job. It could be your experiences. It could be your upbringing. It could be your talents. It could be your spiritual gifts. I love how Pastor Colin Smith, who pastors in the Chicago area, writes commentaries under the theme of unlocking the Bible. He says this word, best translated, is a word that really isn't English. It isn't an accurate English word, but conveys it. He says this is muchness. Love him with all your strength, with all of your muchness. That's leveraging your influence with others for him. That you influence those in your sphere at work, in your profession, in your neighborhood, in your family. That you are someone who your love for God leverages your influence. And then leveraging your affluence in life for him. Whatever God has blessed you with in terms of gifts, whether those are financial, whether those are abilities, whether that's time, that you take those things and you invest them in his kingdom. That's why we talk about the importance of giving to the offering here. You heard last week about our local and global outreach. That's a part of our extending our collective muchness, who we are in Westlake Village. And we invest that for his kingdom. We leverage it for his kingdom. You see, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, you don't get apathetic or indifferent. You don't sit back. You look and you say, look what God has done for me. I am moved by that. I'm motivated to love him as he has loved me. He first loved me. I'm going to love him. And then you're in with your whole life, all of your affection. Your thinking has changed. Your life has changed. You leverage everything that you have of influence with others, everything you have in terms of affluence in life, and you leverage it to make sure others get to know who Jesus is and follow him too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Are you passionate or indifferent about loving God more every day? Are you passionate or indifferent about loving God more every day? You see, when we are passionate about loving him, it changes everything about us, our affections, our very life, our understanding, our muchness, the stuff we have that gives us an advantage or gives us opportunity, that gives us an ability to leverage things for the cause of Christ. We're going to have a time now around the Lord's Supper, a time where we think about the sacrifice of Christ. And we invite all who know Jesus to join us, all who know Christ to join us. And as we partake together, we're going to experience together this moving reality of who Christ is and how he's loved us and how we respond in love to him. We'll take of the bread, which reminds us that Jesus came here in bodily form. He suffered on the cross, the agony. Yes, he suffered spiritually as he was cut off from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He suffered physically. He suffered emotionally. But he did that in bodily form. He was buried and he was raised again in that glorified body. The bread reminds us he came for us when we couldn't go to him. And then the cup reminds us of the blood, the price that was paid, so that our sins could be paid for and we could be forgiven by God once and for all and forever as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We invite all who know Jesus to partake with us. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. We're going to sing about the deep, deep love of Jesus. Join us as we sing, and then in a few moments we'll partake together. So you might want to make sure you have the elements there at home, some juice, bread, or some crackers, and prepare your hearts as we sing of the deep, deep love of our God and how much we love Him.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. I will not boast in this.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. For great
truly great is the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. We love him with all our heart, all our soul, every part of our minds, and with our strength, our muchness. We do that because he first loved us. Jesus said this to his disciples the night before the crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, here's what he said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. These two elements represent the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Now I have one of these packets that has both the bread and the cup, and perhaps you have the bread and cup prepared there in your home. Let's just take a moment and just talk to the Lord and thank him for Jesus. Thank him for the forgiveness of sins. Confess what you need to confess. Just take a moment right there and talk to the Lord silently before him. If you're there with your family, maybe mom or dad, you want to lead in prayer and just thank God for the bread and the cup that remind us of the great love our God has shown us. Again, we invite all who know Jesus to partake with us. Jesus said to eat of the bread because it is his body which is given for us. And so I encourage you to take that bread and you can eat of that now. I'll take the bread. Then we're told in the same manner that same night he took the cup and told us that this was representative of his blood, reminding us of the forgiveness of sins. It's found in the love God has shown us through Christ himself. Let's partake of the cup. Father, thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Help us to be moved and motivated in our own hearts because of the love you first showed to us. Help us to be committed with our entire lives, our minds, everything about us, all the advantages or blessings or gifts you've given us to whatever level they are. May we leverage them for your kingdom as we love you with our muchness, our strength. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing, "Behold the Lamb," that speaks of the one who was crucified. And then let's be reminded that when he was released from the grave, if we have come to Christ and we have been forgiven by Jesus, then we are running from the grave of our own past, our own sin, our own selfishness. And we too are free because of the Lamb.